Thank you for tuning in to the Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple podcast. My name is Carlos Navarrete, and I'm the lead pastor. Our goal is to magnify God through His Word, and we pray that you'll be drawn closer to Jesus through this message. If this message is a help to you, we would greatly appreciate it if you could leave a review and subscribe. And most importantly, please share with friends through social media to help us spread God's Word. Now, here's today's message. Well, take your Bible this morning or device or whatever you've got, and let's go to the book of Galatians. I want you to read with me in a couple of minutes, a couple of seconds here, the verses that we're basing our study from, Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. And the Bible says there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and today we come to this topic of peace. Peace, what an appropriate moment as our world is becoming more and more dangerous every single day. Currently, in the world, there are 32 conflicts, 32 wars going on. Obviously, we know some are more publicized than others and more relevant and maybe to us here in the United States, but we certainly are paying attention to places like Ukraine or the worsening conflict in Israel. And that doesn't include humanitarian crises like the immigration crises currently going on in our country. I currently had this past week, we took some of our missionaries to a hotel here in Boston, and there was no rooms. It was full of immigrants just being housed. Of course, terrorism is a very real concern to some of us, whether that's real or just threats. And furthermore, we have on top of that the obligations and the opportunities of our own lives. Every single one of us right now have circumstances that want to steal our peace. The behavior of our children, maybe your grown children and their decision-making, maybe the pesticides in the food or the war in Ukraine or Israel, or just for you, it's your family who's serving in the armed forces. Maybe it's something like pollution that really worries you, or the repairs on your car, the stability of your job or your company, the stability of your 401k or your Roth IRA or your children's education or your perceived children's indoctrination. Or maybe it's the pandemic or that difficult relationship or two or three, or maybe it's your employee, maybe it's your employers, and maybe it's just something even wonderful for me like ministry that can just bring on pressure. So we've got the circumstances in the world, and then we've got the circumstances in our own lives. But more importantly, when we come to the Bible today, there's things on the inside, the Bible says, that accost and attack constantly our hearts and our minds. They want to break in worry and fear, and it's because of things like our own flesh. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:11 that we have fleshly lusts that war against our soul. In other words, there is in within us these desires, the Bible says, and they cause us great angst. They cause us angst. You may be sitting here and everything's great in your life, and yet you know that the propensity of your heart's desire sometimes is only wicked continually, the Bible says. And it leaves us thinking, is there any hope for peace within me? There's things like our flesh. There's things like sin. Many live with the guilt of just past errors, past mistakes. You have the grief over that, the resentment maybe over some things. Sometimes it's not your sin. Sometimes it's the sins that others committed against you. And those things continually battle against your soul. Sometimes, frankly, it's just the busyness in your life. You're overcommitted, overstretched. You can't say no to anyone. And so all of a sudden, you know, you show up to church and somebody, you know, encouraging you to draw closer to the Lord and spend time in God's Word and come to Jesus just sounds like another request for time and another commitment. And you can't imagine because you have such a full calendar and very few down moments. And do you know the natural reaction to all of this is fear. It's amazing, isn't it? We've never had more reasons than we do today to be afraid. And we've never had more reasons than we do right now to study what it looks like to have the peace of God in our lives. So I want you to go with me to the scriptures. I think most of us, we would feel a little bit like that song we sing at Christmas time, you know. Harry Wadsworth Longfellow said, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth and goodwill towards men." Well, I have some good news for you this morning, and I really do want to encourage you. Here's the first bit of good news. Our God created a world full of peace for us. Do you realize that God's original intent was that man would live in peace with him and peace with himself? And Satan has sought to make us feel bad about God from the beginning. And he came to Adam and Eve and he deceived, the Bible says, Eve. And Adam willfully sinned. And the Bible says because of him, you know, we all have this sinful nature. And people today, you know, sit around and they say things today like, how does God, who is good, allow so much bad? And can I tell you something? God doesn't allow it. You got to remember, when people say that to you, you look at them and you say, this is the consequence of sin. Our sin. Listen, God didn't bring sin into the world. Man sinned. And so everybody likes to say today, you know, well, how could God allow evil? That would be like me going to the junkyard and taking you over there to a car. And, you know, and here's this wrecked automobile. And I go, look it, here's a car. And you say, well, how could they make such a piece of junk? Folks, that's not what they made. That's the wreck that is caused, you know, by negligence and by an accident. And in the same way, this is not the world our God created. This is the consequence of sin. Are you all with me this morning, right? So the good news is our God, once he sought to give us peace, that's his original intent. That's the desire of his heart for you this morning. More than that, he did, the Bible says, something very real. He sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, into our world, the Bible says, so that he could provide this peace in the midst of all the turmoil that he knew this world was in. He said, I want you to know, that's who Jesus is. So Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus came into the world, he prophesied and he says, a child is born, and he said, and his name will be, and he said, called him Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. But one of his names, he said, would be, watch this, Prince of Peace. The primary and the only bringer of peace is Jesus Christ into our world. That's why he came. That was his whole point. On the night he was born, the angel sang in Luke 2 and verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what? Peace, goodwill towards men. This was God's plan the reason why he sent his only son, Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says to bring peace. Now, we think of peace as like the absence of conflict or maybe, you know, a truce for just a little while, but it was much greater than that. In the Old Testament, they use this phrase 355 times, the word shalom. How many of you have heard of the word shalom, right? And it was more than just the absence of conflict. It meant more than that. It meant even internal. It meant the person being whole or safe or sound, or it was a condition of life where it wasn't just an inner psychological peace, but everything in life being set right, everything in the community being set right, everything around us being set right. And so all of a sudden we come to God, and the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to bring peace into our situation, to bring peace into our hearts. The Bible says that the angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Now, here's what we know. Some of us who study the Bible, we look at the events right now unfolding, and we get kind of scared, but we know that this was part of God's plan, that ultimately he'll come and rule and reign, and that, well, everybody will stand against the things of God, and all of a sudden, how many of you figured out principles, you know, are called bigotry, and anything that's right is wrong, and there's this intimidation, like, you know, how could you ever possibly think that? How many of you figured that out, right? And yet, one of these days, the Lord is going to come back, and he's going to set everything straight again in the millennial kingdom, and the Bible says there'll be peace everywhere. How many of you are looking forward to that time, by the way, right? And in Isaiah, he prophesied it. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4 says, nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. There'll be a day, watch this, Isaiah said, where there'll be no more war. How many of you are looking forward to that day, right? That's going to be a great day. If you go to the United Nations building in New York City right now and you walk across the street, there's a wall with Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4. Why? Because it resonates with us. There's something within us that says we want peace. It's the inner longing of our hearts. Everyone is here and you're saying, boy, wouldn't it be great if everybody could just get along? But I have good news for you. The Bible says that while, yes, one day the Lord will establish peace on this earth and there'll be no more wars and all of that, I want you to know something, that through Jesus Christ, while all of us here are thinking of international peace, how many of you understand that the Bible says that our Savior came to give us individual peace? Because see, friends, how can we have peace in our church if you don't have peace in your heart? How can there be peace in your marriage if there's not peace in you? How can there be peace in our state if you don't have peace just in your car while you drive home? So today, I don't want to talk about peace on earth in the sense of let's make sure everybody gets along. I'm talking about real peace, the peace that God brings. You know what it is? It's inner peace. It's peace that comes to every individual heart, no matter the circumstances. So I want you to study with me this morning. I want us to describe peace. Notice number one with me, the description of peace. Let's look at three different ways that the Bible presents peace, the kind of peace that God wants to give to us. I want you to notice, number one, biblical peace is peace with God. The Bible says that the beginning of our search for peace always starts when a person, the Bible says, when we personally have peace with God. Now, here's Paul writing to the Roman Christians. Again, you remember, it was Pax Romana. It was suppressed peace. It was oppressed peace. It was forced peace. It was you move, you die. It wasn't really peace. It was just a kind of everybody was just, you know, following the crowd. And Romans 5:1 says, therefore, he tells them, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an important truth. Listen, he said, it's faith, it's believing in Jesus Christ that all of a sudden ends, he says here, hostility and brings peace. The word peace here is literally the end of hostility. Do you know that when we are born as people, we are born sinners? And as such, sin is literally a clenched fist against God. It's basically saying, no, 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 not your way, my way, not your way, not you, I'm right. Romans 5:10 tells us, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. You know what the Bible says is when we're born, naturally, you're an enemy of God. Because of your sin, the Bible says, you are an enmity with God. And because of your sin, the Bible says, God is at enmity with you. The wrath of God abideth on him that's not saved. We were enemies of the cross, the Bible says, literally in the book of Philippians. Isaiah says it this way, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So watch this. There is this enmity with God. But now watch this. Because of Jesus Christ, he comes, the Bible says, and he died on a rugged cross, on a Roman cross. He was martyred there, the Bible says, as a sacrifice to God. And now the Bible says our sin was placed upon him. And when you come by faith to Jesus Christ, when you put your trust in him and him alone, the Bible says, immediately, you know what happens? The enmity is gone. In fact, you, the Bible says, are adopted into the family of God. And God is no longer your enemy. He's your heavenly Father. And there is peace between you and God, the Bible says, because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be worried. It's an amazing thing to me. You know how what happens to people when they get saved? What happens every time I look at somebody and all of a sudden when salvation, you know, enters their heart? Can I just tell you something? It's an amazing thing how there's just this joy and there's this peace. And their circumstances haven't changed at all. But they've changed and they can look at life differently. And there's just this amazing peace over the fact that there is peace with God. And I just want to say this morning, this is a very simple thing. If you're here and you've never dealt with this, you've never made peace with God, I want to tell you, you can never have the peace of God, you can never experience peace in your heart until you've made peace with God in your life. And this is a really simple step. The Bible says it's called faith. It's when you trust, when you simply come and you say, Lord, I believe you did it all. And being a Christian and being saved means that the war is over, that you surrender. You say, okay, I give my life to you. And the Bible says that you're no longer enemy. Jesus is the conqueror. Jesus, the Bible says, is the Lord of your life. We surrender and we have peace with God. I wonder, have you done that? Has there been a time when you've made peace with God through his son? It's simple. It's just putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want a life of peace, friend, it begins when you settle this issue of your situation with your relationship with God. It starts with making peace with God. And when you do, it's an amazing thing. Then you can receive, watch this, peace from God. See, the Bible tells us that God wants to give you peace. There is peace with God, which then allows us to experience the peace that only comes from God. On the cross, the Bible says Jesus was hanging there and he left his last will and testament, for example. He gave his mother to John the Apostle. He said, hey, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. He gave Joseph of Arimathea his body, only for 3 days though, okay? And then the Bible says that he left you and me his peace. John chapter 14 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Here is Jesus saying, hey, I'm going to give you a gift, something, a gift that you can enjoy and experience and use
even in the worst moments of your life. It's called my peace. He said, I'm giving it to you. Not as the world gives it to you, because the world gives it to you, you know what I mean? And they give it to you in a vacation in Cancun. They give it to, the world has it, you know, with just a few drinks. The world has it with a new purchase. The world has it by going to, you know, out with some friends or a concert or just a momentary way. It has it by picking up, you know what I mean, for the 700th time your phone and checking TikTok and giving somebody some likes. The world gets it, the Bible says, so many different ways. And some of us, you know, you're a Christian, but that's where you're trying to get it. You're trying to go there. You're here, you're doing your religious duty, but you're ready to go back. You can't wait to check the phone. You can't wait to go party. You can't wait to go to the thing because you've never really found peace. And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. Peace, the Bible says, the peace the world gives in comfortable times, that's worldly peace. You don't have to believe in God to have that. But the peace that comes even in difficult times, he says, that's the kind of peace I give. That's real peace. That's the peace that God offers us. See, it's not just a quiet demeanor. Somebody can say, I'm on my peace. It doesn't mean you're a good neighbor only. Some of us have a quiet tension in our lives. We have learned to suppress our panic. Somebody said, true peace is not just a quiet exterior. True peace is a quiet heart. True peace is what you have when it's just the four walls and you and the Lord. The Bible says that that's what God gives. It's peace from God. Not from circumstances, not, the Bible says, from others. It's peace from God. You know, after Jesus was resurrected and he appeared to his disciples for the first time, the Bible says that he said these words to them. John 20:19, he came, Jesus, and stood in the midst and he said unto them, peace be unto you. This is important. This is the first thing he says to them is, hey, peace. And then the Bible says this, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Don't you love that? He says, hey, peace. And they're going, how can we have peace? And he's looking at them and he's going, and he showed them the pierced hands. And he pulled open his coat and he showed them the pierced side. And he said, this is why. Because I'm alive. Amen. Folks, peace with God comes from the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. But peace from God comes because he's alive. It comes from his resurrection. The Bible says you can have the peace from God because of, the Bible says, his resurrection. And all of a sudden, watch this. Now you can experience what the Bible calls, number three, the peace of God. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. Christians, like I told you last week, we are commanded to be joyful. Remember, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. How'd you do this week, by the way? How'd you do with joy? The Bible says that you are supposed to live in peace. Now, this is a difficult one for me. Again, Colossians 3, verse 15, here it is. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. He says this is what Christians are supposed to be. You're supposed to be walking around at peace, not frantic, not worried, not full of care. Let me ask you something. What ruled your heart this week? Was it peace? What ruled your heart on your way to church today? What was on your mind most of last week? What ruled your heart? God says, I want the peace of God to be what controls your heart. I want people to look into your eyes and say, hey, there's just a calm there. Now, the best commentary on the peace of God is Philippians chapter 4. So I want you to take your Bible, if you would, and I'm going to do the same. And I want you to underline some things there. So I'm going to look at verses 7, 8, and then we'll look at 9 here in a minute. Philippians 4, great commentary. And here's what the Lord said. Here's Paul writing the Philippians, and he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So that word, be careful, that's not, be careful for nothing doesn't mean, you know what I mean, just live your life recklessly. When I was a teenager, this was my favorite verse, you know what I mean? Be careful for nothing, you know what I mean? Clang, clang, you know, you didn't have care, you just did things. That's not what it means. The word be careful means be anxious. It means don't be anxious for anything. You're not allowed to worry. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Watch this. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, here's an amazing thought. The Bible says this. Here's Paul writing those words to the Philippian church while in prison in Rome. And here he is, the Bible says, in a cold dungeon, all by himself. He's uncomfortable. He's lonely. Frankly, the Bible says he's suffering. I believe he's sick. He's alone. His friends are forsaking him. Everybody from Asia, all the seven churches. And here he is, the Bible says, but he's writing them and he's relying on the peace of God. The Bible says he's got a serenity of soul as he writes to them. As you read the book of Philippians, there's this calmness in his heart. There is just this peace about his words. There's an inner, the Bible says, peace. peace, and I really believe he was more at peace than some of us who are free this morning. That's an amazing thing. I wonder if you have that. Do you have that inner peace, that inner calmness? Are you enjoying peace right now? And he says, listen, the peace of God will rule your hearts, shall rule your hearts. And he said, it's something that's possible. Now, I want to ask you something. Do you have that? You know, one of the best tests to know whether you have the peace of God is how well you rest at night. The psalmist said, and David said, I'll both lay me down in peace and sleep. He said, I'm going to lay down in peace and I'm going to sleep in peace. You know what happens? You may be sitting here going, oh, I'm at peace. I'm not having fun with anybody. I'm not in a fight with anybody. But you know, when you lay down and it's just you and the Lord, and you finally took the AirPods off and you finally put the newspaper down and you finally put the magazine down and you finally put the clicker down and you finally put the TV away and you finally put the phone down and you finally stopped, you know, clicking in this and scrolling on that. Do you know what happens? Your heart tells on you. And the Bible says that that's the moment when you know, I'm going to lay down in peace and I'm going to sleep in peace, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. See, when you have the peace of God, no matter what is going on at school or at work or in your family, or what a chaotic week you had or what a terrible day you had, the Bible says you have learned to trust the Lord so you can rest in him. Paul said, listen, that's the peace of God. It passes all understanding. Do you know what that means? It says it'll guard your hearts and minds. It says it's beyond what you can understand and it'll guard your heart. It's like a sentry who all of a sudden, the Bible says, stands outside the door of your heart, and he's sitting there and he's armed. That's what the peace of God does. It's standing there, and here comes anxiety, and here comes fears, and here comes bad news, and here comes, the Bible says, guilt and shame, and the peace of God is standing there guarding your heart, guarding your mind. It's saying, no, you're not getting in here. Nope, you're not getting in here. That's what the peace of God does. It says it's just this amazing security guard who's watching over your heart and mind, because it's constantly under assault, trying to be assaulted by fear and by bad news, and the Bible says by situations and circumstances. And Paul said, it passes understanding. Don't try to figure it out. It's certainly not because you're smart, or because somebody here has a theological persuasion, or because you're just such a good person at making money. It's not going to come because of your understanding. It's going to come from me. And what happens is, people who have peace, you look at them and you think to yourself, they don't have much, but they've got peace. The Bible says that's exactly what the Lord does. I want you to see this in verse number 7. He says, in the peace of God. And then I want you to see it in verse 9. This is awesome. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And watch this. And the God of peace shall be with you. Do you know what? It gets better. Not only do you get the peace of God, you get the God of peace. How many of you are thankful for the God of peace, folks? If I can be honest with you, more than the peace of God, I want the God of peace. The Bible says he personally comes to you. You can have him. That's why you can have peace, because the fruit of the Spirit of God which lives in you is peace. He is the God of peace. And if he is at work in your life, the Bible says that's what's going to happen. You're going to have the peace of God. So the question today, like we've been asking, is how do we cultivate peace? Now, I want you to see it with me. I'm going to give you 4 ways that we can cultivate peace, and you can cultivate peace in your life, and these are simple ways. So take out a piece of paper. If you're getting a little stuffy in here, listen, I want you to just write these down, because I'm going to say just a few things about them, and I pray it'll be helpful to you. Here's the first way that we develop peace. Number one, through the Spirit of God. Number one, we develop peace through the Spirit of God. When Jesus taught his disciples, the Bible says that he told them something very interesting. He said, this is a good thing that I'm leaving. He's here trying to warn them that he's leaving. He says, listen, this is a good thing. He says, I want you to know it's good that I'm going to be gone. And they're going, what do you mean? And the Bible says this in John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient. Expedient means it's convenient, good. It'll help you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. So here's what he said. He said, here's good news. If I leave, he says, the Holy Spirit will come. If I don't leave, he won't come. So he said, it's better for you that I leave, because here's what's going to happen. Watch this. The Holy Spirit can be in me right here today, and it can be in Dave at his job, and it can be in Mike over in his neighborhood, and it can be over there in Nick over at his school, and it can be in Leonard as he travels, and it can be over there in Val at his business, and it can be in Joe, you know, as he takes a walk, and it can be in all of us, the Bible says, every single one of us. And he says, hey, it's a good thing, because I'm here. It's just me. He says, but if I leave, the Holy Spirit comes, and he'll abide in everybody, and it's amazing. He says, says the multiplication of the power all of a sudden of disciples living a miraculous life everywhere. How many of you are with me? What an exciting thing that would be. If everybody was just allowing the Holy Spirit of God to live through them. So this is why Jesus said, hey, the Holy Spirit needs to come. Yesterday we went out soul winning and there was several dozen people here, you know, just ready to go. And it's amazing. I told them, the Lord said, and lo, I am with you always. In other words, he's with somebody who goes to North Providence, somebody over there, you know, in another neighborhood. And that peace, the Bible says, would become a reality when the Spirit filled everyone and began to manifest the miraculous life of Jesus through them. Paul called this then the fruit of the Spirit. See, it's only a spiritual believer that truly has peace. It's only a Spirit-filled Christian, the Bible says, who has peace. So we better understand a little bit here about the filling of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says, don't drink wine. Here's why Christians shouldn't drink. Because every drink you take, the Bible says, you're giving control of your body to that drink. God doesn't want to, watch this, just damp you. He wants to fill you. He wants control of all your life. Are y'all with me? Right? Not just body even, soul and spirit. He wants all of it. That's why I believe in abstinence is, amongst many reasons. I hate alcohol. If you're here, you struggle with it, let me know. We'd love to pray with you, help you. There's ways to get over that. If you're here and you're just a social drinker, dump it down the drain. There's not one good thing that can come of it. The Bible says just like a drunk gives alcohol control, a Christian should give the Spirit control. This is why it's a sin for you to drink, because you're 100% to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Be filled. God said that. I didn't say that. You don't have trouble with me. You have trouble with God. That's why you don't like that verse. Because he said, don't you let your control be given to anything but the Spirit of God. Are you all with me? Say amen, right? It's a comparison and it's a contrast. Not to be drunk, but to be filled. Now stay with me. You say, well, how can I be filled with the Spirit? Well, it's very simple. You surrender. A drunk has to drink. To be drunk tomorrow, he's got to keep drinking. A Christian's got to be filled. He's got to surrender today. To be filled with the Spirit tomorrow, he's got to keep surrendering. Paul said, I die daily. He said, every day I give myself over to the control of the Holy Spirit. And so here it is. The Bible says, as you give yourself to the control of the Spirit, and it's amazing. Isn't it an amazing thing how many of us fear? We have no problem giving our control to an alcoholic drink. We have no problem giving it to a boss. We have no problem giving it to a company and signing on the dotted line. But we have such a problem with God asking us to surrender our lives. Can I just be blunt with you? When you come to a crossroads like some of you are right now, and where God's asking you to do things his way, and you just want to continually do it your way, can I just encourage you? Surrender to his way. You say, well, what do you find, Pastor? You know what you find? Peace. Peace. The Bible says it's that simple. This is why we sing about it, right? Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, like fathomless billows of love. It's wonderful. You never surrender to God and all of a sudden find yourself miserable. You find yourself at peace. You find yourself with all of the things that you've been hoping for. And it's amazing, isn't it? People take, you know, I got to think about this baptism thing 3 years. I got to think about joining a church 5 years. I got to think about, you know, in the next 10 years, maybe when my kids are grown, maybe when, you know, when I retire, maybe, you know, when I finish all these travels, then I'll serve the Lord. And there's an excuse every single stage of your life. And the Bible says, hey, why don't you just decide now? I'm here to tell you folks, listen, Jesus is coming. I think the time is drawing near. Hey, why don't you right now decide, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. Be filled with the Spirit. His Spirit brings peace. And you can't be full of you and full of peace. Number two, through the Son of God. I love that little phrase that people have sometimes. You've seen the bumper sticker, right? No Jesus, N-O Jesus, question mark. No peace. And then it says this, no Jesus, K-N-O-W Jesus. No peace, K-N-O-W peace. No Jesus, no peace. But if you know Jesus, you know, peace. Now, Jesus told the disciples as he prepared for his departure, that he said very clearly, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now the Bible says here that here's the Lord saying, hey, I am the giver of peace. Look for me, seek for me, stop trying religion. Look for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you have read, you know, and maybe you remember World War II, 1940, when the Germans were bombing London, and every single day, you know, the air raids, and every single day, the leader of Great Britain, Winston Churchill, just a fantastic figure really in history, just a man, he'd come over those airwaves every morning over the radio and over the television, and he'd stand there and he'd tell the people in Britain, hey, be bold, and he'd tell them over the air and in the sea and in the land, and however, we're going to stand strong, and he would just encourage the morale of the British people every single morning through his voice. And do you know that? That's what Jesus does for us every single time. This isn't a tradition. This is a necessity to come, to hear his voice. And all of a sudden you see in the Bible and you see, wait a minute, that's exactly what's unraveling on the news. And all of a sudden it makes sense. And you realize that, hey, the terrorists, they may scheme, and the government, you know, officials, they may fight, and people may do this and people may do that. But at the end of the day, it's the Lord that's in control. And it brings peace to your life to know that your Savior, he is in control. Robert Louis Stevenson used to tell the story of a ship on kind of a rock-bound journey, and here they were in this storm, and the sailors were afraid in great difficulty. They were roiling and toiling, if you will, and one man was working, a sailor, below the waterline, and he was down there, and he couldn't stand it any longer. He said, man, I'm going to go check with the captain. So he went up, and went up to the tower there where the captain was at the helm, and he was steering that ship, and he stood there, and he watched. When he walked into the tower, he watched there the captain, and he was steering and moving that ship, you know, navigating it through those rocks and through that difficult situation. And all of a sudden, the sailor and the captain caught eyes, and the captain looked at him and he smiled and he winked. And the young man went down below and he told all the sailors, we're safe, we're all right. And the other said, well, how do you know? And he said, well, because I've seen the face of the captain and he smiled at me. Can I tell you something? I'm a Christian and I'm just another guy, and you may think that's just a lot of preacher talk, but I'm just here to tell you, I know you've watched the news, I know you've seen what's going on, but can I tell you something? I saw the face of the captain this morning and we're going to be okay. He smiled at me. He's got it all under control. How many of you are glad? Our God's got the whole world in his hands. And I'm telling you, if you're looking at your circumstances, you're going to be overwhelmed and you're going to feel, oh, what in the world is going on? What are we going to do? But here's what the Bible says. If you look at the face of the Savior, he'll give you peace. Job 34:29 is one of the great verses of the Bible. I want you to write this down. If you've never memorized this verse, you maybe ought to. Here it is. Ready? When he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? Isn't that great? When God gives you peace, who can stir up trouble? Can I get a witness this morning? Isn't that great? Read it with me. When he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? Paul said in Romans 8:31, when God, he says, what shall we say to these things? It's talking about all the stuff around us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Here's the prayer of Paul to the Thessalonians. I love this. This is my prayer for you this morning. Are you ready? Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. He's got some means. He's got, number one, his Spirit. Number two, he's got his Son. The Bible says he's the Prince of Peace. Number three, ready? He's got the Word of God. The Word of God. He uses his Spirit, he uses his Son, and he uses his Word. The longest chapter in all the Bible, who can tell me? Psalm 119. Who can tell me how many verses are in Psalm 119? Anybody know? 170-something, that's close, yeah. 176, exactly. And do you know that 176 verses, Psalm 119 talks about the Word of God. Over and over again, the precepts of God, the law of God, the commandments of God, you know what I mean? The law of the Lord is good, the precepts of the Lord, and the statutes of God, and the ways of God, over and over again. All the verses talk just about, except for two, I think, talk about the Word of God. And they all give the benefits of the Word of God, and the Bible says one that I want you to notice this morning towards the end. It's Psalm 119 and 165. Here's what it says. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I want you to read that with me together. Ready? One, two, three. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do you know what happens when you fall in love with the Word of God? There comes a great inner peace in your heart. And you know, as a result of that, you're not easily offended. You're not easily offended in church. Somebody takes your seat. Somebody tells you where to sit. Amen, Pastor. I was trying to encourage myself there in the Lord. Somebody cuts you off in the highway. Right? Somebody calls you something. Somebody doesn't call you something. Your wife says something to you. Your wife doesn't say something. Watch this. Great peace have they which love thy law. They're not easily offended. We've got too many easily offended Christians. It's no wonder we have no character in the White House. We have no character in God's house. No wonder we got a bunch of easily offended, bickering people. We got a lot of easily offended, bickering people in God's house. Folks, it's time the judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Do you love the word of God? The Bible says that we need to understand God wants to give us peace, but it comes as we receive the word of God. 17 of the 27 Old New Testament books begin with this phrase towards the beginning. Grace and peace. Grace and always in that order. First grace, then peace. Why? Because if you don't have the grace of God in your life, you'll never have the peace of God shown through your life. You've got to have God's grace. Where do you, the Bible says, receive God's grace. Well, one of the ways is in the word of God. If you don't every morning get up, open the book, get some grace into your life, the Bible says you're not going to have it to give to other people. And you, I'm just gruff. That's just the way I am. I'm Irish. I'm Salvadorian. That's just the way I was raised. Listen, folks, sometimes the truth is we're just bitter, angry people. And the Bible says the reason is we've failed of the grace of God. We haven't picked up the word of God. As I told you last week, with joy, we must be attentive to the word of God. If we're going to have joy and if we're going to have, listen, peace, we got to be attentive to God's word. Psalm says in Psalm 85, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he'll speak peace unto his people and to his saints. Isn't that wonderful? Listen to this. This is what Psalm the David said. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Can I ask you something? Did you come to hear what God has for you today, or did you just come to church? Did you read the Bible, or did you hear what God had to say to you today? Did you pray or did you hear what God had to say? I mean, are you just going about religion or have you listened to God lately? The Bible says that's what the Word of God does. Here's why I want to challenge you with that. Number one, that's why I want to challenge you today to meditate upon the Word of God. Think on it. Meditate on it. The Bible says, we studied this in Wednesday night, study to show thyself approved, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There is counsel here. It's amazing. I was talking to a lady this week, and she just said, wow, it's just amazing. I read the word of God, and it told me to remove something from my kid's life, and he said, they've been so much happier. I said, amen, praise the Lord. That's rightly dividing the word of truth. Folks, listen, it's got something for everyone here. It's got, listen, grace for every race. It's got something for every maze. The Bible says, meditate on it. And listen, can I challenge you with this too? Memorize the word of God. Do you know what will happen? All of a sudden, when tragedy comes and you don't know when it's coming, and when a crisis strikes and you don't know when it's striking, and when all of a sudden, listen, the bad news falls on you, you know what the Bible will do? The Bible says the Holy Spirit will take the word of God that you're hidden in your heart and it'll bring it to your mind and it'll guard your heart and your mind in the midst of crises. This is why we need to study God's word. It really makes a difference. So God uses these means. He uses the means of His Spirit, He uses His Son, and the Bible says you'll have peace through His Word. And then here's the last one. Are you ready? I want you to go to Philippians 4. That's where we were. I want us to finish here. He brings peace through prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, guard, garrison, protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, are you all with me? Here it is. Ready? I'm gonna give you three circles. Here's one. First circle. This is the circle of anxiety. This is the circle of, the Bible calls it in the King James. Let's put that back up there, guys. Philippians 4. It calls it the circle of, back to verse 6, care. Be careful. So, this is the circle of care. Question, church. How much should we put into the anxiety circle? Be careful for what? Nothing. So how much should go in this circle?
Nothing.
What should we be worried for? Well, according to Scripture, it's nothing. All right? So watch this. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. So let's put the prayer circle, right? This is the prayer circle. Worry circle gets nothing. The prayer circle, what does it get?
Everything.
Everything. What do you pray for? Everything. If it's enough for you to care about, it's enough for you to pray for. I was driving to church Wednesday night, and I'm on my way here. I mean, I had cares. I'm telling you. I had a headache. I had so much stuff on my mind. I mean, it was just one of those weeks. Frankly, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was just full, and it was like I was getting it from all sides, and it just seemed like everything was falling apart, and bombs were going off everywhere. You know what I mean? And personally, and here at church, and some of you are struggling. We've got a bunch of people, you know, struggling with some things, and there's some sickness, and there's just, it just was like, wow, you know. And I mean, I was driving on my way to church, and my message was ready, and things were ready, but I wasn't at peace. I mean, I'm driving behind the car, and I just started calling out to God. I said, Lord, I just need your help. I said, I'm falling apart here. I said, I need your help here, I need your help here, I need your help there, this, that, you know, I mean, and I'm just calling out to God. And then on top of it, you know, I had lost my pen. How many of you lose something and it just bugs you? You know what I mean? It's like a rock in your shirt. It's not a big deal, but man, does it irritate you. And I remember I got here to the church, and you know, and I'm now I was just kind of back to whining mode, and the Lord said, pray about it. And I'm like, Lord, I need to find my pen. It'd be really nice if I could find my pen. I can't even write stuff down. I don't have my pen. You know what I mean? And I mean, I got out of the car, and the Holy Spirit said, look under the seat. And I thought, all right. And I think somebody had used my car the day before, one of my kids or something. And so I hadn't even used it in a couple of days. And I thought, all right, I'll look. And I looked under the seat, and there they were, my son's black Vans. And I pulled those out, and I thought, well, I suppose he's been looking for those. That was nice of me to find those, you know. And then right underneath his right shoe, you know what was there? My pen. And I sat there, and you know what I did? I was walking into church for Wednesday night service, and I was thinking, Lord, thank you for letting me find my pen. I mean, my headache went away. You know what I mean? And my life didn't change, but it was like that drop that was making everything overflow. It was like the Lord just took one less thing away. And then it's almost like the Holy Spirit said this audibly, and he said, hey, stupid. He didn't say this like audibly, but I kind of felt like he's saying, like, you should pray about everything like that. Careful for nothing. Pray for everything. And then watch this, verse 6. Let's go back, guys. But in everything, says through by prayer and supplication, watch this, with thanksgiving. So here's the third circle, the thanksgiving circle. What do we give thanks for? Every answered prayer. So the Bible says this, nothing in the care circle. Be careful for nothing. I've not put you in this world to be full of care. You don't believe in me, God says, so that you can just take all your cares and take them with you. He says, I want you to pray. About what? Well, if you care, pray it through. And then when I answer, we ought to be quick to be ready to what? Give thanks. Give thanks in all things, the Bible says. It's really that simple. And, verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding, what? Shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's really that simple. In the midst of trouble, in the midst of difficulty, you can have peace. This past March, my son Luke and I were going to see some missionaries in Honduras this past year, about 6 months ago, and the Rolstons, they're some great people. In fact, they're going to be here in about 3 weeks, and I'm excited for you to just get to know them. They're just wonderful, wonderful missionaries. And so we'd flown, we took off from Providence and landed in Chicago, and I got to the Chicago airport, and right away as I got out, we found our gate. It was just a couple of gates over, and it said delayed already. Flight was delayed about an hour. Turned out to be a couple hours by the time it was done. And so I told Luke, I said, well, let's just go find a place to work. And we had staff meeting. I kind of had one of those video conference with our staff here at the church. So I went over to the club room type thing there to grab some lunch. And, you know, and I was checking in. And the lady at the desk said, I asked her, I said, why is everything delayed? I said, I noticed every gate is delayed an hour, delayed an hour, delayed an hour. And she said, oh, she said, there is a storm that's about to hit. And she pulled her phone out, and she had one of those radar screens, you know, and here was O'Hare, and it was just this green blob coming right up, you know, from the, west coming in. And she said, there's this storm, it's going to hit us, and it's going to pelt us, and it's going to be terrible. Nothing's taken off, nothing is coming in. She said, for another hour, we got flights getting diverted to Milwaukee, you know, and all over the place. And I said, oh, wow. Well, Luke and I went in, and you know, and I got a cup of coffee, and I think maybe some fruit, and he had gone over to that little guacamole cart. You ever see that? You know, they got the avocados, and they put some cilantro and some salt and lime. I mean, it was just, he was in heaven. Some chips, and we're kind of sitting there, and we're sitting there in front of the window, and all of a sudden that storm hit, and I mean, it was just, you know, coming down. I mean, I'm talking about, it was raining cats, dogs, horses, elephants, I mean, everything. And you look, and we were sitting there, and I'm kind of having a staff meeting, you know, but I was kind of like, whoa, you know, and I'm looking in the window. I mean, there's this whole wall, and it's the whole thing's a window, and it was just rattling. I mean, it was, you couldn't see the plane that was like 100 yards in front of us. I mean, it was just rattling almost. I mean, and these, you know, big golf ball size, you know, hail, balls of hail, and then between that, it was just water. It was just one of the most amazing things I had ever seen. And I sat there and I was going, whoa, this is a storm. And here I was sitting in my nice leather chair, warm cup of coffee. I was comfortable. I was dry. I was safe as could be. And outside, all around me, was one of the most horrible storms I had ever seen in my entire life. And folks, listen to me. That is what it means to be and have the peace of God. The psalmist said it this way. It made me think of Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Anybody here ever had their heart be overwhelmed? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever, for I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Listen to me. That's what it means to know God's peace in times of trouble. And I'll never understand people who act like, oh, I got to go to church. I got to read my Bible. I got to do this. It's like they've never really experienced a relationship and what it really means. Listen, when you go and you're filled with the Spirit of God, and when you, the Bible says, come to the presence of God, and you worship the Lord with anticipation and joy and all that you have, and when you come to the Word of God with a hunger and a thirst, and the Bible says, and an unwillingness to be offended, you just want what God has to say for you. And when the Bible says, and you come to God in prayer, I mean, really seeking the Lord. You know what the Bible says? You're not being one of these Christians that's, I gotta pray, I gotta read my Bible, I gotta. You're just, your delight is in all of that. Why? Because you know what it's like to sit comfortable, dry, listen, sheltered, if you will, in the midst of a storm. That's the same way Jesus Christ, that's what he does for us. When you come to him, the Bible says you're sheltered. You can have peace. I can't tell you right now, 1, 2, 3, do this, repeat after me, and you go, and your life will all be okay. That's impossible in this life. But how many of you are glad that we can have individual peace? We can't fix our country, maybe, but you can fix you. Can I ask you? Do you have peace with God? Have your sins been dealt with? Are you saved? Friend, it is the simplest thing you could ever do in your life. But you've got to surrender. You've got to throw up your arms and go, yes, I receive you, Jesus. Yes, I trust you. I surrender. I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. You've got to make peace with God today. You'll never have the peace the Bible says God wants to give you until you make peace with God. Once you have peace with God, let me ask you, are you looking for peace from God? Some here, you've got to come clean. Listen. It's time to come clean. You're looking everywhere. You know, you want to have a little image. You want to have a little money. You want to have a little this. You want to have a little that. You're looking here. You know, you're popping it up on the phone. You've picked it up 17 times. You've been on Candy Crush, you know, every 3 minutes because you just can't lay off. You know, one more level, one more little fruit. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, and you're looking. Hey, have you come to the place where you realize peace comes from God and God alone? And you don't have it because you've not looked there. You've never come to him. You need to stop playing religion and try a real relationship. And then can I ask you this? Do you have the peace of God? I mean, in the storms, what does it look like in your heart? It doesn't matter what circumstances you have. What matters is what's in here. You'll be stable. You have the peace of God. People are going to look at her and you're going to look and they're going to say, you're going to look at you and they're going to say, does she know? Does she not read the news? Like, what's wrong with her? They're going to look at you and they're going to go, what are you, like one of those Christians that's just like, you know, I mean, stuck in the clouds? What is wrong with you? And you know what you're going to look at them and say? And you're going to say, oh, I've read, but I've read the book. And I skipped to the end. And my God wins. And I've got peace. I'm okay. I looked into the face of the captain this morning, and he smiled at me. And he said, it's going to be all right. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the peace that you want to give to us. We love you. Lord, I just pray this morning you'd help us. God, we need your peace. Lord, forgive us where we've been looking elsewhere. Dear Lord, here's a moment where I believe you've brought an opportunity. Many of your children, they've been seeking all over the place. They're looking in pleasure. Some just can't wait to get out of here and just go look somewhere. Try to find something to bring deliverance and peace. But Lord, it's found in you. Lord, forgive us for looking in religion, being religious, thinking that just showing up an hour on Sunday is going to do something. Lord, help us to find you. Lord, forgive us for looking in, even in church. Help us today to find you. How many of you would say today, right now, I'm a child of God, Pastor, but you know, God's speaking to me. I need to stop looking everywhere in the world. I've been convicted today. I need to seek first my God in my life, in my heart. God spoke to me today. I need to be looking into the face of the Savior more. And I'm being honest today, I need you to pray for me. Can I pray for you? Would you just raise your hand? God spoke to my heart. Just raise your hand up high. God knows already. God bless you. God bless you. There's a lot of hands here. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Can I ask you this question? Do you have the peace of God? In the middle of your storm, can people look at you and say, oh, there's a peace. There's a shalom. Something in there is different. How many of you would just say it today? You know, Pastor, honestly, I want to display that. One of these, by all means, one of these means God spoke to me about, I need to practice. Maybe it's the filling of the Spirit or the meditation on the Word of God or just prayer. You got to get a prayer journal on your way out. I don't know how God spoke to you. How many of you would say, pray for me. I need to practice, develop the peace of God in my heart. Would you raise your hand? God spoke to my heart this morning. Amen. God bless you. Friend, can I just say it? Won't you come to Jesus today? Why don't you come? Just step right out. If you raise your hand and you mean it, why don't you just be humble enough to just step out of your seat and come to this altar and just say, Lord, I need your peace in my heart today. Just step out. I'm going to pray with you in a minute. Just come on down. Just come to Jesus today. Just say, Lord, I've been looking elsewhere. I'm willing to seek you and look to you and humble myself to you and say, Lord, I need you. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, some of our team members will be down here. We love to pray with you. This is a great moment. God speaking to your heart. Just come on down. We're going to pray together. As God's people, we're going to look for God's peace. The world doesn't have it. We know that. But God's people should have it. It's the fruit of the Spirit of God. I want you to pray. Anybody else? You can come down all the way from the back. Just come. Father, we thank you for the peace that you promise us. Lord, if we'll pray, if we'll seek you, Lord. God, this is what you do. You give us a peace that passes understanding. It goes beyond circumstances. It goes beyond anything we could ever possibly imagine. And I'm begging you, Lord, today. Lord, there's many here calling on your name. Give peace, Lord. Bring peace to hearts. Let there be a calm. Let there be a difference in the way that we live our lives this week. Lord, we live in a world that's increasingly in turmoil. People all around us, Lord, are increasingly in turmoil. Lord, help us not to be problem people. Help us to be peaceful people. Miraculous lives in the midst of a crooked and perverse and dark generation. Lord, I pray you'd help me. Help us. Holy Spirit, bring that down to us. Friend, can I ask you, have you made peace with God this morning? How many of you can say it? Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I remember the day when I called upon Jesus to save my soul. Would you raise your hand as a testimony? I know that. What a blessing. That's a beautiful sight. Who's here and you'd say, you can put your hand down. Who here and you'd say, you know, I need to do that. It's time once and forever, once and for all. My Savior is, just call upon his name. Just right now, pray in your heart. Jesus, I surrender. I repent today. I'm asking you to save me. Come into my heart. I'm putting my faith in you once and forever, once and for all. I trust you, Jesus. Would you tell him? Just tell him right now. If you're not saved, just call on the name of the Lord. It's the simplest thing you'll ever do in life and the most important. Tell him right now. Lord, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Did you do it? Did you mean it? Pray right now. Lord, help me not be ashamed. Help me to live for you. If you just pray that prayer, would you raise your hand right where you are? I'm going to rejoice with you. I just pray. God bless you, young lady. Who else? I just prayed. I asked Jesus to come in my heart. Anybody else? I did that. I did that. Lord bless you up here in the back. God bless you. Who else? I just prayed that prayer. I asked Jesus to come in my heart. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for these who this morning, Lord, made sure their salvation. Bless their walk with you. Help them, Lord, to have an incredible peace. Bless their hearts, Lord, because of the step of faith. We rejoice, Lord, with it. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to encourage them. I pray our church would be a peaceful place. I pray as God's people, as we go into this workplace, into this wicked and confused world, help us to make sense. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
We'd like to thank you for listening to today's message. If you made a decision to trust Christ, we'd love to know that and send you some resources that you can use to continue your new relationship with God. If you'd like prayer, you can call us at 401-231-4796 or email us at prayer@gribt.com. You can connect with us through social media or our website at gribt.com. Have a great day, and may God richly bless you.